Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Stanley Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, it's drive time. Glad to have you on board. This is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket, coming to you from the mothership, the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on board. Home, of course, of the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Michigan Wolverines are part of the cluster as well. And, of course, home of the Detroit Lions here in northwest Ohio, southeast Michigan. Well, a date that we've been looking forward to and keeping an eye on, July the 31st, today, 4 o'clock, about an hour and 5 minutes ago, trade deadline, Major League Baseball. Our guest lineup today will feature folks that know quite a bit about what went on, especially in the Detroit Tigers organization. Randy Wehhofer, he is the radio play-by-play voice of the Iowa Cubs in the Pacific Coast League. They're in Albuquerque, by the way. They play in Albuquerque tonight, and he'll tell us a little bit about, well, the featured player in the Cubs deal, Justin Wilson, of course, and Alex Avila going to the Chicago Cubs, and Jamer Candelaria. He will be, of course, the player coming to the Detroit Tigers. The situation from him, what I understand here, is, of course, he's projected as a third baseman or a first baseman. He's basically blocked in the Cubs organization with Chris Bryant playing third. Rizzo's a first baseman. And it says more to me about where are the Tigers eventually going to put Nick Castellanos. I'm convinced he can hit. By the way, nobody's ever confused him with Brooks Robinson at third base. Eventually, again, if Miggy still is with the Tigers in years to come, which he might be, you see him as a DH, maybe Castellanos moving over to first base, and the youngster they just got, Candelario, basically moving to third base. The only thing that stands out, which I find a little bit bizarre in both deals, the Wilson-Avila deal to the Cubs and the J.D. Martinez deal to Arizona, the Tigers have picked up five bodies. All five bodies are infielders. Now, you would think possibly you'd get an outfielder in the mix there. Depending on the Justin Upton situation, you might have him penciled in, might have him penciled in left field for a number of years to come. I mean, is Jacoby Jones your center fielder? Mikey Matuk, maybe your right fielder with JD gone. You think they might have maybe picked up another outfielder in this exchange. So the two big deals the Tigers made basically all for infielders and a couple of third basemen as well. Dowell Lugo's down at Double-A Erie. He's only hitting .206 right now. John Wagner, by the way, the writer for the Toledo Blade, will join us at 5:35. We might see some of these guys when the rosters are expanded in September, that 40-man roster. I really expected to see Iglesias go today, to be honest with you. I'm convinced maybe Dixon Machado is ready. Iglesias has been very, very good. Iglesias has got a year left in his deal, and they're clearing the decks of money, salaries, long-term contracts, and players they cannot control. Kinsler's still with the Tigers. Something can happen, of course, with the waiver trade deadline. That is, of course, in September, and also something can happen in the offseason. JV does not go to the Los Angeles Dodgers. One of the final deals made today, Yu Darvish of the Texas Rangers. He is now a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. The one team I really thought that had to do something, it was the Houston Astros. They needed a left-handed pitcher, maybe another bat. Houston did nothing. Tremendous, tremendous record. They sat still. You know, for Tiger fans, too, I looked today. It was 2013 when the Houston Astros won 51 games. 51 wins. Look at the Yankees a couple of years ago. They got younger, and they got younger quick. Now, they received better prospects, and Houston, of course, drafted better prospects than what the Tigers been able to do. But in 2013, Houston, with the best record in the American League, won 51 games. So Detroit's on this rebuild, maybe with some cornerstones like Cabrera. Justin Verlander, I thought, might be going to the Dodgers. It made a lot of sense. He was throwing 97, 98 yesterday. Absolutely unbelievable, but I thought he would be moved as well. You know, I got thinking a little bit about this today, and I know that's a scary thing. But think of the major deals the Tigers have made over the years. I can't think of one player that the Tigers had to ship, you know, to get a Cabrera. Well, maybe Andrew Miller's one. But a Cabrera or all the other deals that have been made over the years, I can't remember one prospect that I'm saying, wow, I wish we wouldn't have traded that guy. I mean, is that an indictment of the Detroit Tigers scouting staff of their inability really to draft and sign high-end prospects? Again, I'm shaking my head. Andrew Miller, maybe the one. He went in the Cabrera deal. Besides that, who's Devin Travis, a second baseman, of course, that went to the Blue Jays and the David Price situation there. He's played some second base. But really, you just haven't, you know, scratched your head and said, man, I wish we never would have moved that guy. So that proves one thing. The Detroit Tigers minor league system is completely void and, listen, incomplete of any prospects that are going to move in right away. I do expect Candelario basically to find his way to Toledo and maybe even Detroit come the 40-man roster. And, again, what's Nick Castellanos thinking here with two of the five infielders the Tigers have obtained are third basemen? Now, as players get older, some can be moved to the outfield. I think Castellanos is going to hit. He's been hitting over the last month. I don't think his average is a good indication of how well he has hit the ball. They're going to find a spot for him, whether it's going to be DH, eventually first base. Is Miggy going to DH? Are they going to move things in and out of that situation? But no major splash for the Detroit Tigers. Late breaking news today, Sonny Gray goes to the New York Yankees. Yu Darvish, as I just mentioned, to the Los Angeles Dodgers. But again, a little astounding to me that the Tigers have acquired five prospects, heavy emphasis on the word prospects, and all five are infielders, by the way. So, and you know, and you got to question Al Avila a little bit, some of the moves, Mike Pelfrey, Lowe the pitcher. Really, the best deal he made was for his son, Alex Avila. So he has not, if you had a grade Al Avila at this point in time, believe me, that's probably a D or a D minus. Now, listen, I understand what people are going to say. None of these deals he's made lately, you might not even know how good they were for a couple of years. But right now, I am not overly enthused with this whole situation. You know, we have Craig Muter on this show quite a bit. He's the chief communications officer with the Baseball Museum, the National Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Of course, the ceremonies were yesterday. Had a chance to watch a DVR of that a little bit today. And I don't want to get off on a big thing here, but I just have said this in the past. I think it's a total injustice that Alan Trammell, we've talked about this before, is not in the Hall of Fame. Plus, he is such a solid citizen. Look at the guys that went in. Now you have Pudge Rodriguez. Tiger fans know who he is. Maybe kind of started the renaissance for the Detroit Tigers, which began in 2006. The Tigers really have had 11 years of pretty good baseball. The rebuild, the reboot has started, but allegations there of PEDs. How about Tim Raines? He's a guy that slid into second and third base head first. You know why? Most folks thought he was carrying a vial of cocaine in his back pocket. That's why he slid again head first. Bagwell, also PED allegations here. So all of a sudden you're letting guys in. And listen, regardless what you think of Bonds and some other guys here, they don't get hit similar allegations. I have kind of soured a little bit, as you could tell, on the Hall of Fame. Did watch the induction yesterday, Pudge, Raines, and Bagwell. Back with Randy Weyhofer, voice of the Iowa Cubs, after this timeout.
Toledo sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Well, Jim Cushlin right on cue with David Bowie's panic in Detroit. I don't know if there's a panic yet, but the Tigers have acquired five prospects, all infielders, of course, with the Justin Wilson, the Alex Avila deal going to the Cubs in return. A couple of infielders, J.D. Martinez, brings three infield prospects from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Glad to have you on board, everybody. This show is always presented by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. July clearance sales event continues. My favorite, how about this, $118 a month, 2017 Ram 1500 four-door Express Crew, $118 a month. Final day of the July clearance sale. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Joining us now on the Vito's Pizza phone line, all the way from Albuquerque, he is the play-by-play voice of the Iowa Cubs in the Pacific Coast League. Randy Weyhofer joins us. Hello, Randy. How are you?
Great, Mike. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking the time. First things first, temperature now in Albuquerque. Temperature first pitch tonight, 7 o'clock Mountain Time.
I think we're sitting in the low 90s right now. Actually, the scoreboard says 84, so it's not been too bad. We had a little rain come through. There's only 71 guys put sweatshirts on with the wind blowing in last night. So I guess we're lucky for this time of year.
No, you were. I was expecting maybe 108 right now and maybe an even 100 at game time. Hey, Randy, first things first, of course, a big deal here south of Comerica Park in Detroit, the Tigers. Of course, dealing Justin Wilson and Alex Avila to the Cubs, and they get a couple of prospects. One I know you're very familiar with. Tell us a little bit about Jamer Candelario.
We've had Jamer for a full year. We got him for the second half of last season and with us the first half of this year around a couple of brief stints with the Cubs. And I think he has the potential to be a really good player. He's a switch hitter with power from both sides. He handles the strike zone. He's not a huge strikeout guy. He's a big gap hitter. He's probably more doubles than homers. You know, he's probably a 20 home run guy in the big leagues, getting the chance to play every day. But the thing that maybe gets overlooked a little bit when you talk about prospects is he is an elite defensive third baseman. He has terrific hands. He has an excellent arm that's very accurate. He's great coming in on the slow roller and on the bunt play, diving and from the line and to both sides. He's got good range, and everything he gets his hands on, he seems to catch. He's one of the best third basemen that I've had the chance to watch on a daily basis in my 20 years in minor league baseball. He's really, really good over there.
Well, listen, that says it all. I like hearing stuff like that, Randy. That's why I reach out to guys like you in your 20 years, and that's why that statement is concrete. Hey, you know, I started doing this with the AAA play-by-play guys when the Tigers made the deal with the Blue Jays organization. David Price, of course, when Daniel Norris and Matt Boyd came over, and I had their play-by-play guy on, and he was a wealth of information. So I love going the Triple-A mode and talk to guys that know these prospects. Hey, tell me about clubhouse presence. I'm sure you've interviewed him on numerous occasions. What kind of character are the Tigers getting?
He's a stand-up guy. You know, he was born in New York, but very early in his life, his family moved to the Dominican Republic, so he's fluent in both English and Spanish. He's probably more comfortable in Spanish, but does radio interviews and converses in English and is really comfortable He's a guy that really within the last few years, in the way he explained it to me, his faith became really important to him. So he's not a guy that's out living it up in the nightlife, and he's a kind of a quiet guy, determined to work hard. You know, he hit his first major league home run in his last call up to Chicago before he came back with us, and I just talked with him about it the other day, and his face just lit up talking about that home run. It had given the Cubs the lead in a game in Washington. It was a big series a few weeks ago, and he's a guy that interesting about him. Your listeners probably remember Munenori Kawasaki from his days with the Blue Jays and being around that part of the country. The friendship that those two struck up when they were with us here last year. He was even trying to learn Japanese and teaching Kawasaki some Spanish, and they'd sit together on the bus and struck up a real unique relationship. So I think that told me he's a guy that's eager to learn new things, eager to take on new challenges, and he's always been a pleasure to be around.
No, that's a great report. Again, Randy Weyhoffer joins us from Albuquerque. He's a 20-year veteran. He's now the voice of the Iowa Cubs in the Pacific Coast League. They play, of course, Albuquerque tonight. One thing I read today, Randy, was, of course, with Chris Bryant penciled in at third base for the Chicago Cubs and Anthony Rizzo at first base. Really nowhere for Jamer in those two positions to get back to the major leagues in a hurry unless there was a position switch involved.
Yeah, and I kept waiting for him to go to the outfield and take some fly balls and try to add another dimension to his game. And I don't know if that was his choice or not. They didn't do that with him, probably because he's just too valuable playing the infield here for your pitching staff and the development of the other players around them. And even if he did move to the outfield between Schwarber and Hayward, and you know, there's just not a lot of open spots for an everyday position player the way the Cubs are currently constructed, and coming off the season they had last year and the age of the guys there, yeah, without a significant injury that nobody's rooting for, there wasn't an obvious way for him to get to the big leagues. And he's going to be out of options soon. And he was kind of emotional last night when they made it official after our game and told him that he was going to be traded, because this is all he's ever known, and he's a thoughtful, big-hearted guy. But I think he'll learn that this is the best thing for him, and we're going to find out what kind of major league player he's going to be. Theo Epstein made the comment that in any other organization, Candelaria would have been a Rookie of the Year candidate coming into this year, and he was a Triple-A guy because there was just no spot for him on their major league rosters. So, we're going to find out. There's no sure things in the game of baseball. The game's too hard, and there's too many variables to ever say that anybody's can't miss. I would never make any of those kinds of statements, but it's up to him now. I think, obviously, you make a trade like this, the Tigers are probably going to give him the opportunity to be an everyday player, if not, this year, certainly next year, and break him into their system and get to know him a little bit, and then it's going to be up to him to produce and determine whether or not he's a 12-year big leaguer or a guy that, we wonder about. And I hope for his sake and for the Tigers' sake that he is a 10-year big leaguer and a productive guy, because I think the physical abilities are there and the determination is there too.
Randy Weyhoffer joins us, getting a real good look here at, again, Jamie Candelario, probably on his way to Toledo to play with the Mudheads. Mudheads are off tonight, by the way, and they're in Louisville starting a series tomorrow night. Hey, did you get a chance, Randy, at all to see Isaac Paredes, of course, the 18-year-old shortstop that is in the Cubs system? Or what have you, I'm guessing you saw him in the spring possibly or somewhere, or at least heard some things about him. Any news on him you could share with the Tiger fans?
Yeah, I don't know much. If I saw him on one of the backfields the couple of days I was down at spring training, there's 100 guys out there and there's no names on the back of their jerseys. So I don't remember anything specific about seeing him play. I know he's having a pretty good year, just following along with how the other affiliates are doing. And he was an all-star in the Midwest League, and I worked in that league for 9 years before I came here. And it's not easy to hit. And if you're 18 years old and having a pretty good year, because the weather's terrible everywhere until about the middle of May in that league, so pitchers are way ahead. And so if he was putting up any numbers at all at 18 years old in the Midwest League at South Bend, He's got some physical ability, and there's a long way to go for anybody who's 18 to become a big leaguer. But yeah, I don't know much about him other than just kind of following along with some stats.
Randy Wayhoffer joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, the Detroit Lions, and, of course, much, much more. My name is Mike Miller. Randy, before we let you go, and listen, I know comments and quotes and thoughts a lot of times don't filter down to the AAA level, but Justin Wilson and Alex Avila going to the Cubs. The Cubs, of course, win it last year. They're trying to take a run at it again. Any thoughts from anybody that you heard in the press box tonight overlooking the playing surface of the field there in Albuquerque? Comments that have filtered to you about the deal from the other side, the guys going to the Cubs?
Well, I think, you know, Wilson's reputation as a guy that's dependable in the late innings, whether it's a setup or even as a closer. You know, on a day that Wade Davis isn't available, or, you know, they're looking for options in that bullpen and guys that they can trust, and they feel that he is that guy. And after the Miguel Montero fallout and letting him go, it's been long rumored that they've been looking for a veteran catcher to play behind Wilson Contreras that the veteran pitching staff can trust and might be in a little bit of a mentorship role. You know, Victor Caratini, who just hit his first major league home run yesterday, is probably on his way back to us. But I don't think there's ever been a championship club in baseball that had two catchers under the age of 26. And that's what the Cubs have been carrying since they let Montero go. So the fact that you can acquire those two specific needs for your roster and the addition of Quintana from the White Sox a couple of weeks ago in that trade, the fact that they were able to acquire those three pieces without touching anyone on the major league roster and upsetting the core of what they built around last year and the guys who were battle tested for them in the playoffs a year ago. You know, on the surface, that makes you seem pretty hopeful that they're set up to continue this run they've had since the All-Star break and make another run at it. You know, there's no guarantees, the Nationals and the Dodgers, and there's some good teams in the National League, but if they can get to the tournament again, I think they like their chances with the guys they got. And the fact that they were able to make these acquisitions without giving up Baez or Happ or Schwarber or any of the guys that everybody thought they would have to trade is pretty remarkable, I think.
No, good stuff, Randy. Thanks for coming on. My hat's off to a guy that's got 20 years. Listen, before I got a little kick at the can, I spent 13 years in the minors and a lot of bus time myself. So hats off to you guys, regardless of the level. Your office is pretty nice today, calling us from the press box in Albuquerque. That's a great update. I guess my take on this thing, and I said this in my, you know, my prelude to our conversation, Randy Wayhoff, was this. Nick Castellanos is a guy I think is going to hit and hit pretty well at the major league level, but his defense, I put it this way, nobody's ever going to confuse him with Brooks Robinson. So I eventually maybe see a DH situation there, maybe a first base move, and who knows, Miguel Cabrera eventually seeing more time at DH, because I'm convinced Castellanos can hit. And if Jamer, by the way, can defend the way you said he could, I think that's an upgrade for the Tigers as well. Hey, listen, travel safe. Appreciate you coming on, and thanks for the update.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now that's Randy Wayhoffer, voice of the Iowa Cubs, out in Albuquerque, talking about a guy that we'll probably see down at Fifth Third Field here pretty soon. Randy Wayhoffer, the voice of the Iowa Cubs, talking about Jamer Candelario. He is a third baseman, switch hitter. He says 20 home run power at the major league level. A lot of doubles. You know what that means at Comerica Park? Probably a lot of triples with those big alleys, especially out in right center field. So, again, I guess my whole sticking point here with the Tigers and this trade deadline thing, again, the waiver trade deadline continues throughout the season. But I got to tell you, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be that guy that comes on the radio and says, you know what, we're just going to have to wait and see. I guess the thing that astounds me a little bit, I'm looking at that outfield now with JD gone. I mean, those guys, I understand this. And he's got five jacks already with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's only hitting about 216, I think, but he's driven in 11 or 12 runs already in the middle of that order, right behind Goldschmidt. So that helps Arizona indeed. But I got to tell you, I'm not overly enthused at this. Again, with the five guys that the Tigers have picked up Candelario and, of course, Isaac Paredes from the Cubs, Lugo, King, and Alcantara, of course, in the deal that brought J.D. Martinez over. We'll talk more about that with John Wagner at about 5:35 tonight as well. I guess the other thing, and I don't want to go down this road, all these changes, I'm wondering and I'm hoping, and I don't wish anybody any bad luck, but I think the other move Detroit has got to make. The only problem is I don't know who's available. In my opinion, Brad Ausmus's time should be over with. Winners in the trade deadline, Cubs. Absolutely. They move nobody from their major league roster. The losers, Houston. Houston a chance to win this thing. They did absolutely nothing. Dodgers did pretty well again. Hugh Darvish moving on. How about the Yankees? It was 3 or 4 years ago we're saying the Yankees are in a major rebuild. They're right in the middle of things. They get Sonny Gray today. TASS Electronics, update with Mr. Cushlin after this.
Traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Special thanks to Randy Weyhoffer, the radio play-by-play voice of the Iowa Cubs of the Pacific Coast League. They're out in Albuquerque. Talked a little baseball for Randy. 20-year veteran. Traveling that league, hats off to him, sitting in his office overlooking the diamond in Albuquerque, and believe it or not, temperature was only 90 degrees. Quick note here, I talk about it every year, it's one of my favorites, the 2017 Andrew Gulch Memorial Golf Tournament, hockey-themed, by the way, chance to play with former Storm players, walleye players, that's to benefit muscular dystrophy, and again, that's coming up on Saturday, August the 19th, silent auction, dinner, raffles, corporate donations. For information, again, on the 2017 Andrew Gulch Memorial Golf Tournament, visit info at gulchmemorial.com. Glad to have you on board, everybody. We bug them this time of the year, trade deadline, and sometimes even before that. John Wagner joins us, beat writer for the Toledo Mud Hens, works for the Toledo Blade. Hens, by the way, are off tonight. They're in Louisville, of course, tomorrow. Hello, John. How are you?
Mike, I'm a little slice of heaven. How are you tonight?
You always are. I'm glad to hear it, and thanks for sending some my way this afternoon. I appreciate it. All right, here's my first observation, this isn't throwing Al Avila under the bus right off the bat, but of course, two deals, the main ones, Justin Wilson and Alex Avila to the Cubs, J.D. Martinez to the Arizona Diamondbacks. All the prospects you get back, infielders. I don't think that's a tragedy by any means, but a little bit of a eyebrow-raising thing that with the likes of Upton and now J.D. gone, you didn't get an outfielder in the mix. Observations and from you.
Well, first of all, it's going to be tough to tell whether the Tigers won or lost these trades for several years because these are young guys. I mean, even a guy who's in AAA, the main guy that the Tigers got from the Cubs, he's only 23 years old. And for him to be in AAA at age 23 is pretty amazing. In fact, he's expected to join the Mud Hens, and what I did earlier this afternoon is made a list of guys in the International League right now who are younger than him. And tell me if you recognize some of these names. Moncada, Meadows, Devers, the guy from Pawtucket, Boston, Jose Berrios, Clint Frazier, Gleyber Torres. Trust me, Mike, if you're a prospect junkie, those are some of the top guys in baseball. They're 23, 22 years old. If he's in AAA at that age, that's pretty impressive. And you worry less about what they do and worry about are they progressing and getting ready for a big career. So,
you know what? I got to tell you, I recognize about half those names, and that says a lot because I know who a few of them are. I'm not a prospect junkie, but I recognize those games. And I can tell you, I have a lot of faith in guys that have been at the minor pro level for 20 years, like our first guest tonight, and he had nothing but positives. And he, listen, I know what the general manager is going to say in Theo Epstein, John, but Randy Weyhoffer came back and said, Theo Epstein said this, the only thing that's maybe keeping, he's already been up, of course, we're talking about
right.
Jamer Candelario. He says, you got Chris Bryant at third base and you got Anthony Rizzo at first base.
Yes.
He goes, we don't know where to put him. And Randy said, too, he said, listen, I expected to show up at the ballpark early like you do in a lot of days. And he's out shagging fly balls in the outfield because somebody said, listen, you better get ready. This is where you're going to play. So first early blushes on Jamer Candelario, who you're going to meet pretty soon, all positive. And the other thing I liked hearing was class act, character guy, great teammate, which, of course, is important as well.
No question. And actually, he's not the only guy who's young in this group. A couple of these guys are 18-year-olds. There's one who's an 18-year-old who's in low A. The other guy that they got from the Cubs, that's pretty impressive. The other is at the rookie level league, age 18, and he can run like the wind. That King, I believe, is his name. That's one of the guys they got from Arizona. It would not surprise me if he moved off shortstop to center field and became a Billy Hamilton type, because I talked to a scout, and that was what he told me the speed comparison was. And if you can run like Billy Hamilton, man, you can run.
You know what? That's my main reason on my Buckeye Cable System roster to go to the Cincinnati Reds for very brief periods every now and then, is just to catch a little Billy Hamilton act every now and then. Hey, John Wagner, what's this say on the Vito's Pizza phone line? Nick Castellano said two out of these three are third basemen. I mean, eventually do you see a move with Castellanos going to first, DHing? I'm convinced he can hit. I think his average does him no justice this year. I watch enough Tigers baseball. He's hit the ball hard all year long. A long term with a couple of guys, maybe the top two in that group of five, Lugo, who's in Erie, and the guy we've been talking about, Candelario, of course, will be in Toledo, both third basemen.
Well, and one thing I'll tell you is that Dawell Lugo, who's in Double A, already has played a couple games at shortstop this year. So, yes, he is primarily a third baseman. He may not be exclusively a third baseman. The thing we also have to remember about Castellanos is when we talk about young, Castellanos is only 25. He turned 25 in March and has been a big leaguer for several years already. The long story made short, Mike, is that I was never worried about the glove. I figured it would come. It hasn't yet. It looks like this is a decision by the Tigers that instead of trying to force the glove at third base, he will probably eventually move over to first base. You know, Victor Martinez is probably not going to be a lot longer for the game. And when he moves, you'll probably see Miguel Cabrera move to DH and Castellanos move to first base.
Hey, tell me a little bit here about Dixon Machado and where you think he is. And I know who's the infielder that Perez that went to the Milwaukee Brewers? Hernan Perez, and the shortstop that went to Cincinnati.
And is now playing third base, Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, both have played pretty darn well. Where's Machado compared to those guys?
You know, that's an interesting one. You ask different people in the Tigers organization, and you'll get different answers. Of those three, the best defensively is Machado. He's the one. Suarez has already moved to third. Perez has already become a super utility guy. Most scouts believe that Machado could be an everyday shortstop in the majors if he hits enough, and that's the question. Of the three, he was probably considered the lightest hitter of the three, with Perez just a notch above Suarez. But if Machado can stay at shortstop, then that hitting becomes less of an issue. He doesn't have to be that guy who hits 300 or whatnot, you know. I've been surprised, I have to admit, for as little action as he's gotten, how well Dixon has hit this year. He's above 300, so he's not going to hit for a lot of power. He hit his first home run a few weeks ago or a short time ago. He's not going to be a power guy. The nice thing is he doesn't strike out too much. He's not a walk guy, though, so that's also, you know, not going to be a guy who works for hits or works for to reach base. He's not a base stealer and things like that. It is the glove that has to carry Dixon Machado. A lot of people, and I shouldn't say a lot, some see him as another super utility player like Perez. I don't think he has Perez's bat, but I also think his glove at short is good enough that he could stay there. I take it you're asking so you can find out if maybe the Tigers could move Jose Iglesias. Am I guessing correctly?
I thought he'd be gone today, to be quite honest with you, and especially with the glut of infielders, regardless if they're a couple of years away, that Dixon's there, gets a chance to prove himself. Iglesias has been with the bat great over the last couple of days. I was thinking down that road, and one of my favorite things in baseball, by the way, and I know it's old, but I can't get enough of it. You mentioned Dixon Machado's first home run. There's nothing better to me in baseball than a silent treatment when he gets back to the dugout.
Now these guys would know it's coming, but it seems like it's a surprise every time it happens.
They do know it's coming, but it's still, the whole concept to me, if you're around teams long enough, been on buses and charters like I have, you know, it just tickles me every time I see it. Hey, with Justin Wilson gone, and let's talk about who the eventual replacement's going to be for them. Laborte, I know the last time you were on, John Wagner, here on Drive Time, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. You mentioned him. Jimenez, of course, is another guy. And let's touch on Rondon as well. That's been a little bit of a circus up at Comerica Park.
Do we have to?
let's talk about this situation a little bit. What do you see down the pike for those three guys and maybe some other guys, John Wagner, that might be in the mix?
Okay, well, first of all, when the Tigers traded Wilson, they promoted Joe Jimenez back up to the major leagues, which is, you know, based on his recent work, that's totally righteous. He is working on a string of 16 consecutive scoreless outings. He's pitched really, really well for the Mudhens for the last month or so. In fact, I don't believe he's given up a run since late June. And
John, say that again, please.
He has not given up a run since late June.
John, say that one more time, please.
He has not. He has given up zero, as in nada, zip and bupkis runs since mid-June. Thing is, though, Mike, his breaking stuff is still a work in progress, okay? His advantage over guys when they came up here for the first time, like Bruce Rondon back in the day, was that Rondon was not a strike thrower. He was a hard thrower that guys would swing and miss. Jimenez has always been a strike thrower, so that's always, he gets high marks for that. But his breaking pitch still needs a little work. It's good some days, it's not so good other days, and that's right now, though, that's a fix that's going to have to happen in the major leagues. Jairo Laborte, since he's come to Toledo, he has not been as good a strike thrower. He already has 8 walks in 9 innings. That is not going to play at the next level. In fact, that number will go up because more disciplined major league hitters will take pitches that he's getting away with at this level. But for Laborte, he also has 12 strikeouts in 9 innings and also has allowed only 4 hits in 9 innings. I mean, the arm is real. Long story short there. The arm is very, very real. He just needs better command. And as for who the Tiger closer of the future is, first of all, Mike, what do you mean by future? Do you mean the rest of this season? Because if you're asking me that one, it could be you as much as anybody. My guess would be it's going to be Shane Green, who also has thrown very well lately. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to put a lot of money on that. You know what I'm saying? Now, having said that, if I may repeat myself, Shane Green has not allowed a run in 13 July appearances for the Tigers.
What we're saying here, the strength right now of the Detroit Tigers, which is almost unheard of at times, might be young bullpen arms and some seasoned bullpen arms, which, you know, is a pretty good trend when it comes to Detroit Tiger baseball.
I think strength might be a little harsh there, or a little strong, Mike, but there are some mixings there. There are some fixings that could be turned into a salad. You know, you have a better chance of chicken salad than chicken you don't what out of the bullpen for the Tigers right now. Shane Green's been thrown well. Jimenez has been on a good streak for the Mudhens. There are some arms coming up. So, you know, the thing becomes long-term, what is the answer? And I'm not sure we know who the long-term answer is right here, right now.
Always enjoy having you on. I'll be racing out and down my lengthy driveway tomorrow, Mr. Wagner, to the mailbox. I still enjoy the paper version in the morning, reading about what you are writing about, probably as we speak, about the Tigers and the Mud Hens and prospects in baseball. Again, July 31st, trade deadline has passed, 4 o'clock today. Other big names, Sonny Gray to the Yankees, of course, Melky Cabrera to Kansas City, Yu Darvish to the Dodgers. 30 seconds, touch on maybe a quick winner or loser in this whole trade deadline scenario.
Well, I'm not sure who's going to win short-term, but I'm really confident the long-term winner is the White Sox. Man, have they hit on prospects. And I feel for the Tigers. They got beat up for the what they got for J.D. Martinez, but what I keep hearing and seeing on my Twitter feed is that there was very little market for position players out there. And, in fact, I'm trying to think of another position player besides J.D., a big name who was traded. It was almost all pitchers.
I always said Melky Cabrera, a little bit underrated.
Melky Cabrera, there you go. You know, the exception that proves the rule. Well done, Mike.
No. Well, listen, I can't pick up the Free Press or Detroit News without them saying, listen, we got this information from John Wagner. We got him right here in Toledo, and we're happy. Daddy Wags, thanks for coming on. Nobody 25 years of age or younger knows who Daddy Wags was. I certainly do. And thank you for coming on, sir.
Well, needless to say, I'm above 25, so I know exactly who Leon Wagner is. But God bless you, Mike.
Good seeing you, John. Good talking to you. Always a pleasure. Have a vetoes on me, and we'll talk down the road.
That sounds like a plan. Take care.
John Wagner, Toledo Blade, baseball writer. Always great to have John on. This show was always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Here's my favorite. Lease this for $118 a month. 2017 Ram 1500 four-door express crew cab, 4x4. You got it. 24-month lease, $118 a month. I'm looking at one right now. Wow, what a deal for $118. All of our guests, of course, join us in the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. This presentation also brought to you in part by Monroe Golf and Country Club. Visit www.monroe.golf. Great golf, delicious dining, Donald Ross Design. Back to close it out after this.